Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. I'm Carol Knier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. I want to thank you for listening today. So we are in the month of February. I don't know where January went, but 2022 already. And so for those of you out there that may have listened to last week's show, February is Heart Month. So on today's show, my guest is Dr. Bradley Sirwar. Good morning, Dr. Sirwar. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, and you were on in October when we talked about Sudden Cardiac Arrest Month, which
Correct.
Was a very interesting topic. And the information you provided was, you know, really interesting. And so we're here kind of to talk about heart health overall. Correct?
Wonderful. Yeah, I appreciate that and definitely appreciate the time to spread the word, so to speak.
So you are one of our cardiologists here at Way Memorial Hospital. You work in our physician specialty clinic, but you are also an interventional cardiologist, correct?
Correct. Yes. In cardiology, think of it as you've got your general cardiologists, see a lot of clinics, see patients in the hospital wards. You've got your electricians that deal with pacemakers and abnormal heart rhythms, and then you've got the plumbers. And Dr. Hassan, my co-part, and myself are the two plumbers that work here at Wayne. Someone has a blocked artery causing a heart attack or chest pain. That's when we come in. We actually do the procedures to open up the blockage, so to speak, balloon open the vessel, put stents in, reestablish flow, the local cardiac plumbers.
Right. And how long have you been doing that?
So I graduated from medical school 22 years ago, but before that I actually was a technician working in a cath lab from 95 to 98. Mm. It was a great experience. Back in the mid-90s was the early days of cardiac stenting, and the numbers were incredibly high. Medical therapy wasn't quite as developed as it is now, and there was a really high percentage of people that ended up needing cardiac caths and stents. But I did that full-time for 2 years and then continued to work evenings and weekends through medical school, working in the lab. Went to medical school, graduated, joined the Navy to pay for school, and then spent 3 years of training as an internal medicine physician, worked on Capitol Hill for 3 years in one of my Navy positions, which was fascinating. Went back and did 3 years of general cardiology. Got deployed, spent time on at sea, humanitarian missions on the hospital ship as the cardiologist to Haiti and Central and South America. Came back from that, did another year of training at George Washington University under Dr. Reiner and Mazzari, doing angioplasties and stents. Then I went back to the Walter Reed area, spent the next 7-8 years working between the National Capital Region, doing angioplasties and stents at multiple different facilities there, retired, and then been up here at Wayne for about 10 months now.
Well, all I can say is I'm so glad that you are here. your extensive knowledge and your experience that you bring to our area and our community, it is really priceless. Well, and so it's wonderful really to have you here with us.
Thank you. I mean, you know, luckily the groundwork was laid early on. I know many of the people here with the local administration, Mr. Hockenberry, Fred Jackson, Mr. Hoff before he retired, were instrumental in starting the cardiac cath lab here at Wayne in 2016. And at that time, the cardiologist then was Dr. Ray Resnick, who really built the lab up from nothing. And I tell you, you know, having a hospital that has a cardiac cath lab and full cardiac capabilities is a game changer for a region, not just the community, but for the entire region. When someone suffers a heart attack, the coronary artery basically becomes occluded, usually when a plaque in the artery ruptures. And when the plaque ruptures, the body attacks it, it forms a blood clot, and it shuts down the vessel, impeding blood flow from that vessel to the heart muscle. And when that occurs, patients experience chest pain, that part of the heart stops functioning appropriately, and more importantly, can cause sudden cardiac death, like what we discussed back in October. Abnormal heart rhythms can arise and can cause people to die instantaneously. So when someone does have an acute coronary syndrome, heart attack, so to speak, It's vital that we can get in and open up that blood vessel as soon as possible. Prior to the lab being opened here in 2016, patients would come in. We'd have to basically kind of stabilize them and transfer them to Scranton, which is an additional 45 minutes to an hour, depending on, or longer, depending on the weather. As we know, with the weather coming in tonight and tomorrow, that right. could be, you know, hours
right.
to get
exactly.
someone over there. The longer someone has to wait, the more muscle in the heart dies.
Mm-hmm.
And the more muscle in the heart that dies, the worse the outcomes are. The more heart failure, the higher rates of death, higher rates of abnormal heart rhythms, et cetera, just go through the roof. So when we're talking about heart attacks, the famous slogan is, you know, time is muscle. And the heart being a muscle, we want to save as much of it as quickly as possible. Cath labs all have basic standards and guidelines that we go by. Ultimately, though, the goal nationally is to open up a blood vessel from the time someone hits the door to the time we open up the blood vessel. The goal is 90 minutes, which seems like a horrifically long amount of time. Here at Wayne, our average door to balloon time is about 54 minutes. So we far exceed the national average. And really, that's secondary to a team effort. You can't just have one person that is gung-ho and eager. We really have an amazing team here, starting from, you know, from our emergency room, services out in the field, EMS, to the emergency room providers, nurses, techs, and doctors there, all the way to the cath lab techs, nurses, and staff in the cath lab, and then transitioning over to the intensive care unit. So it really is a well-oiled machine that has been fine-tuned over the last almost 6 years now.
Right, right. And it is such a great asset for our community, our surrounding communities. And we talked about that too, is, you know, even, you know, if someone has to go through all of that and then the recovery time, we also talked about cardiac rehab, our cardiac rehab program last
yep.
week with Nadine Greco. So, you know, if someone's out there listening, you know, sometimes people don't always recognize they're having a heart attack. You know, we talked earlier, there could be a difference between men and women. Can you kind of just discuss that a little bit?
Absolutely. So everyone knows that the biggest thing to look for is chest pain. But honestly, cardiac symptoms aren't so much pain as much as a pressure, as tightness, a squeezing. Angina actually is derived from the Latin term for strangulation, not pain. So if, you know, the classic symptom is an elephant sitting on the chest. People just have this overwhelming tightness that doesn't go away and isn't relieved. They can't get comfortable. It's not necessarily pain as much as a pressure. But don't let that fool you. That is a classic presentation, and most people don't have classic presentations. Matter of fact, women have very different presentations than men, and because of that, women have been overlooked historically and blown off saying that it wasn't their heart because they didn't have chest tightness or chest pain. Women may have something as simple as nausea and vomiting. They may have more back and upper chest pain. They may have more neck and shoulder pain. Pain is very unique and is very, very nebulous sometimes. But ultimately, bear in mind that if someone has sudden onset, out of the blue, symptoms of any kind of discomfort in the strike zone from, you know, the mid-chest up to the neck and shoulders that comes on suddenly, if it's associated with feeling sweaty, diaphoretic, shortness of breath, sometimes you may have pain that radiates down into the left arm, up into the jaw or neck. Those are all things that are very concerning. Don't deliberate. If, when in doubt, just come into the emergency room. Our teams here, the goal is to get an EKG as quickly as possible, identify those that are having heart attacks, and then notify the team so that if needed, we can activate the cath lab and get that blood vessel opened in an expeditious manner.
Right, because, you know, basically someone is on call 24/7
for
our heart and cath lab, correct?
We are here rain or shine 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is incredibly rare that we are ever on divert.
Mm-hmm.
We have one cath lab. They maintain it very well just to make sure that we're not down for any mechanical reasons. But we are always, always available.
Right. So, you know, we talked about the symptoms, the difference between men and women, but overall, we also want to prevent heart disease, right? So
Absolutely.
What can someone do to prevent heart disease? Regular doctor visits? What other things?
Absolutely. And that's ultimately our goal, is to prevent an event from ever occurring. We know that there are a lot of factors that go into developing coronary artery disease. One is genetics. And unfortunately, you can do a lot of things, but you can't choose who your parents are. And so that's the one pass that people get. Ultimately, though, we have to address the modifiable risk factors. Weight, smoking, diet, blood sugar, blood pressure, cholesterol are all vital. And going in and getting routine checks with a primary care really can be a life and death issue. If patients have diabetes, making sure that their blood sugars are well under control. If you have high cholesterol, modifying your diet, exercise is paramount. And I know Nadine is fantastic, and I'm sure that she talked about things. These are all issues that are covered in cardiac rehab. Unfortunately, cardiac rehab is after someone has had an event. Right. So what I need is Nadine for everyone else to preach the gospel, so to speak. But an active lifestyle. The goal is 150 minutes of aerobic exercise per week. Sometimes that's easier said than done. Sitting and a sedentary lifestyle is just as detrimental to your overall health as going and eating, you know, two pizzas.
Right.
But watching your diet, watching your blood sugars. If you do smoke, please quit. It's easier said than done, I realize it, but that is one of the huge modifiable risk factors that really does have a major impact.
Right, I know. And, you know, some of the programs that we do through community health, we work with the students, you know, basically in 7th and 10th grades, and we encourage them not to start smoking, not vapor, and all of those things that, again, right. In the long run, they don't see it now, but long road down, you know, they're going to end up with heart disease.
Right.
And or diabetes,
you know,
or things like that.
One of the things I like to tell all of our patients is that we do things in medicine for two reasons, and only for two reasons. Either we're going to make you live better or live longer. And ideally, an intervention, a drug, a lifestyle change will make you live better and longer. But we at least want to do one of those. And a lot of times controlling blood pressure might have the medicines might have some side effects, but we do know that aggressive blood pressure management will make a huge impact down the road. And there's a lot of different medications that we can choose to make sure that we find the right one for that individual person with minimal side effects. Cholesterol medications are game changers. As I mentioned earlier on in the interview, in 1995, cholesterol medications were not nearly as rampant as they are now. And a cath lab the size of ours would do 10 times the number of cases that we're doing now. The invention and the promotion of cholesterol and diet and lifestyle has really impacted our community health in a very positive way.
Right. So if we have individuals out there that says, you know, that never worked for me, things are always changing in the medical field, that
Correct.
They should come back for a follow-up. They should see, you know, a cardiologist to get a reevaluation, correct?
Absolutely. You know, if you're still practicing medicine the same way you did when you were in medical school, you're in the wrong. Things change on such a fast basis. New medications, new strategies come out, and there's basically a healthy path for everyone out there. We just need to find the right one for that individual person.
Great, great. Well, Dr. Sarwar, I'm so happy that you joined me on today's show. The information I think that you provided is so helpful for our listeners today.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate the time. If you have questions, we are here available at Wayne Memorial Hospital. We do have, our phone number is 570-253-8185. We have a fantastic team that's here ready to assist.
You sure do. And I am proud to work here at Wayne Memorial also. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Welcome. And again, this is Carol Knier, Wayne Memorial Community Health Manager. Thank you for listening and have a great day.